battles you create for yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, could it be the battle you're fighting, you created it yourself? We had something called Revival Stories a few weeks ago, and Deidre did a phenomenal job presenting her story as a spoken word. And she's going to come and set up my sermon today. And while she's getting the set up, you have no idea what the person you're sitting next to has gone through. Is anybody here that got the testimony, I don't look like what I've been through? Somebody said, you ought to be glad I don't look like what I've been through. Anybody here been through hell, but God has beautified you with salvation? Anybody been through some stuff in here that you know now, that you know, that you know that God is real? Can we worship and praise God for that right now, that he's real? I'm not talking about what you heard. I'm talking about what you know. I know he's a healer. I know he's a savior. I know he's a provider. Because when I was at my lowest, he lifted me up. Yeah. Deidre's going to come down and she's going to share her story with you.
Thank you.
Come on, let's give it up for her. You might be seated. You have no idea what it took for the person sitting next to you to smile and to fight what the battle that we call life. That's what I'm praying today. Father, touch our perception of you, ourself, and others. In Jesus' name, amen. How to fight battles we create for ourselves. You know, we're being attacked and we fight battles every day. But could it possibly be the battle you're fighting you created for yourself? Here's my main idea today, and I want you to think about this. Our external battles could be the result of our inner turmoil. Let that sit for a moment. Our external battles could be the result of our inner turmoil. Anybody like Popeye's chicken in here? You know they got a new sandwich out, right? Oh, I went yesterday because I'd seen it on social media. I was going to get it. And you know how you have this anticipation, this expectation that I can't wait to get in line? When I drove up there, it took them 5 minutes to come back to the pre-recorded message. And when I got to the window, the lady said, I'm machine down right now. We ain't got no spicy. I said, I didn't order spicy. I ordered classy. You know, I try to calm them down a little bit. Oh, I ain't know. And I said, ma'am, she gave me my drink. It was Dr. Pepper. And I said, ma'am, I didn't want Dr. Pepper. I wanted strawberry. We ain't got no strawberry. She went off on me for a classic chicken sandwich and a strawberry soda. How many know it wasn't that chicken sandwich? It wasn't that strawberry soda. Many times the battles we face are a result of this inner turmoil we have on the inside of us. And we create the battles we're trying to pray off. So this morning I'm going to tell you how to fight those battles. I'm not going to necessarily tell you how to win them. Because if you win in the battles you're creating, you're probably losing in life. Folks think I'm crazy. How's that working for you? Oh, they know not to mess with me. How's that working for you? You all right in here? How do we create these battles we face? I'm going to give you two scenarios you probably see in everyday life. That's probably a whole lot. But I'm going to give you two you probably see, and I'm going to show you how to fight them. The first scenario you see is this. We surround ourselves with only the information that matches what we believe. And when we do that, we create a battle, and you don't even realize you're doing it. Watch this. Most of us tend to like people who think like us, look like us, act like us, dress like us, and like the things that we like. That's normal, right? Some people call it cliques, but that's how we gravitate towards our circle, right? People, birds of a feather flock together. But the only challenge is when you're wrong. When you are wrong, you will subconsciously dismiss people and things that go against what you believe. And you will reduce your life to everything that just agrees with you. And if anybody just by chance happens to disagree, particularly if you're emotional about something and you're passionate about something and you come against what I feel, oh, you're the devil now. Get loose here, Satan. Loose here, the blood of Jesus now. We begin to pray that if it doesn't match up with what we believe. This is called confirmation bias. I'll explain it this way. Confirmation bias is is similar to frequency illusion. Frequency illusion is this. How many of you ever bought a car? And you bought that car, and then you start seeing cars that look like it everywhere. You're like, oh, not everybody driving a car. They've been driving them cars the whole time. What happened is your brain subconsciously reduced itself to find what you had. The same thing happens inside of you that creates battles. You reduce your life to people who think like you, who coincide with your opinions and your emotions, and you discard anything else that may oppose your hurt, your view, or how you feel about life. There's a guy by the name of David Moraney said this. Whenever your opinions or beliefs are so intertwined with your self-image that you couldn't pull them away without damaging your core self, you avoid situations that may cause harm to your beliefs. In other words, I stop answering texts, calls, and I pull away from anybody that slightly says anything that disagrees with what I feel. That's cool when you're in faith. But when you're wrong, it's a recipe for disaster. Here's what happens as a result of surrounding yourself only with the information that we like in bad moments. we end up with a bad spirit that creates bad environments. Somebody asked me how I know. Been there, done that. Got several t-shirts. The Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. When you are tainted inside, you see everything tainted on the outside. As God taught me this, he said, a thief always thinks you're stealing from him. A liar always thinks you're lying to them. The great lyricist of old from the Fugees, who broke out and went by herself by the name of Lauryn Hill, one of the greatest lyricists of all times, had a line that I'll never forget. She said, how you gonna win when you ain't right within? Come again. How you gonna win if you ain't right within? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, how you gonna win if you're not right within? Oh, I know all this too well. At one point in my life, yeah, in church, I got hurt. I probably has hurt as many people as I've hurt myself. But I was offended. I was offended by some stuff that I rightfully so need to be offended. And when I got offended, I started shutting off certain people, and I started to attract certain people. And their stuff started to rub off on me, and it started to affect my attitude. It started to affect the way I see things. And when you are offended, you see everything wrong. You can spot out stuff. You ever notice that when you are particularly, like, when you're dating somebody and they're just great, you're married to somebody, you love them, and everything's just wonderful about them, and you love the way they walk, you love the way, just everything about them. As soon as they get on your nerves, their teeth ain't even straight. You're looking back at your ex and, what was I thinking dating them? They the hottest thing out when you're dating them. But now that your opinion has changed, everything about them has changed. It's called a bad spirit. And when your spirit gets bad, it starts to project itself on everything around you. Now you're looking at everybody, they ain't happy. That ain't real. And instead of looking here, you're projecting it there. And it creates the environment that you're praying off. You're rebuking the devil that you're letting the door and letting him in. It's like cutting your air on 60 and rolling the window down on a day like today. It ain't working. You start filtering out opposing views, and it creates a battle for you that you keep perpetuating. I know it because I lived it. It wasn't that I didn't have a right to be offended, but how I was going about dealing with it was creating the wrong environment, and somebody had to walk me through how to handle conflict. The next thing that happens is we believe our memories more than we believe the promises of God. Our memories can be misleading and ignore the logical facts presented to us, and we start to make irrational decisions based on our emotions more than what we're doing the Word of God. The problem is this: when you place too much faith in your memories versus what God said is going to be in your life, your memories can say this: I've had bad luck. I don't believe in luck. I've had bad dealings in relationship, and now God sends somebody in your life that's just great, that's loving, and you put them through hell because of what you done been through. Y'all looking at me strange in here. God can send a great job and you turn into the one you just left. It's not what's on the outside that matters. It's what's going on really on the inside of you. We rely more on our memories than we do what God said could be. It's like a subconscious reaction. You don't even know you're doing it. What is a subconscious? When y'all get to a traffic light, when it says red, what do you do? When it says green, what do you do? When it says yellow, what do you do? No, y'all speed up. That car in front of you better keep going. When you believe your memories more than the promises of God, when your memories are set on default, something crazy to what you've experienced, something happens in your life. You don't move in faith. You have triggers. And your triggers create these defense mechanisms that create adversarial relationships when your bad memories are triggered. You ever been just with somebody talking and you were good, and all of a sudden the song come on, they whole demeanor change? What just happened? You buy some new cologne and it remind them of Curve in the 90s, the Q party or the Sigma party that you met such and so and so you wish you never met. You eat, my ex cooked meatloaf just like that. And it triggers something inside of you and you have no idea what you're doing. And all of a sudden you're talking to them and this wall pops up and you're saying, we were doing good until, who is this person? I know that's not you, but you've probably been talking to that person before, right? You're doing good in church, and Satan knows you. You're doing good in church. You're doing good on your job, but he will expose to you the very thing that you knew that you don't like dealing with, and you shut down. Locked down. We used to go to this place fishing, and we finally took this one dude with us one day. He said, man, y'all been fishing out here walking in these weeds like this? He said, we said, yeah. He said, why you been doing that? He said, there's a snake, there's a snake, there's a snake. I was doing good till he started pointing out snakes. Been fishing there for years until he started pointing it out. Then all of a sudden I got scared. Half of us were doing good till you found out who was talking about you. Now it's the devil. You've been doing good all along. They've been talking. You were doing good till Satan exposed somebody's flaws like you don't have any. I'm not saying tolerate flaws. What I'm saying is thank God for grace and mercy. I was talking to this young gentleman. I get the great opportunity of talking to a lot of people, and he was talking to me about his ministry, about what he was doing. He's doing really good. And I said, man, tell me about your childhood. And he said, oh, God, I had a crazy childhood. He said, man, I was on drugs. I was drunk all the time. And I said, well, tell me about church. And then he told me about his church. He said, oh, my God, I grew up in the most toxic church experience. We're very traditional. We just did all kind of stuff. All kind of crazy stuff happened and all this kind of stuff. He said, man, it was horrible experience. And I said, oh, man. And I said, well, how did you find that church? Then something changed. He said, my mom got saved. And she followed this preacher, and things start to change, but then toxic stuff started to happen. I said, well, tell me about you when you were at that church. Oh, man, I was a hellion. He said, man, I stayed drunk. I was high all the time, and I knew his youth pastor. And he said he was the worst kid I ever had in youth group. If I would have just went on his side of the story, I'd have painted that as the worst church that ever existed. And the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, Jason, think if you had not stopped asking probing questions, because many of us tell stories, but we really tell people what we want them to hear. Thank God for people who would challenge our victim stories and make us see the other side of it. He said, you're going to take the advice of a drunk and high 16-year-old of his view of a situation? He said, there's another side to every story. Think about this. I love talking to children. I don't like talking to the teens in this situation. But most of the young 20s, particularly guys you talk to who are in jail or in situations, they always fuss. Man, I wish my mama was more strict. I wish my daddy would have been there for me. I wish he would have coached me. I wish they would have checked my homework. The very thing they love is the thing they hated when they were in it. How many of y'all have done stuff to your kids that you said, I would never do? Your mama whipped you with a switch. I'll never whip my kids. I'm not telling you whip your kids with switches. You find yourself saying stuff your parents stated. Responsibility has a way of bringing the other side of the equation out. When we got started pastoring, I called my pastor, and I don't think he did everything perfect, but I had to apologize because there was a lot of stuff I saw him do that I said, I don't know why he's doing that, that it's a whole lot different when you're sitting on the other side. Can I tell you, if you got a boss in here, pray for him. They need it. If you see somebody with a kid running around and say, I would just beat that kid. How many know beating don't solve everything? You all right in here? That person needs prayer, but when you are triggered, your defense mechanisms bring something out of you that causes you to rely more on your memory than it is faith, and you create a battle for yourself that you don't need to be fighting. Somebody's going to shut the door on the devil today. You're going to see things for what they are. Many of the problems that we face are a result of the people and information that we embrace. And you're going to cut off certain... There was a moment in my life, I just thought about this, where someone was saying something very negative about me from the pulpit, preaching. And I had a friend that was calling me. He was telling me everything that they were saying. And, man, it was disrupting where I was in life. And finally, the Holy Spirit said, when they call, if they talk about that, tell them to stop. I said, you think that'll work? Yeah, it'll work. I didn't realize, but every time I received that information, it robbed me of the moment that I was in. Some of you, there's some stuff you're going to have to cut off right now because it's getting in you. I don't know who I'm talking to. It's getting in your heart. It's getting in your spirit. You can't enjoy where you are right now because you've been fed some mess. It's like somebody vomiting on you, and they feel good because they got it off them, but now you a mess. And it's triggering something inside of you in Jesus' name. Can I tell you how to fight that battle? Can I tell you how to fight that battle? Number one, here's what you got to do. Yourself in the mirror. Notice I got a camera and a mirror up there. You know how easy it is to zoom in on somebody else's issue? But you got to stop and take a look at yourself and humbly ask yourself this question. Am I open to the fact that it might be me? Maybe I'm the problem here because I can't fix you, but I can fix me. There was this kid that lived down the street. He was mixed, biracial. And I think one of his parents, white, one was black. But, man, he had good hair. And that was in, like, the, remember New Jack City came out? Y'all remember when Bryce Kimbrough was really in, Al Bashir and Christopher Williams. They had this back when people wore boxes, high top fades. And boy, I used to love how they just curl on top of their head. And I had a box there, but it looked like taco meat just sitting on top of my head, just angry hair. And I watched the kid down the street from me. He got the side fade. He didn't even have to he just put a little stuff in it. He just sit up there. I couldn't dare get a pick through my hair. I had Sport and Wave and Duke back then. But I found this stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I said, Mama, he got this gel. And I said, can you go to Walmart and get it for me? He puts his little mousse of gel in it, and his hair just curl up. We got to get it, she said, Jason. I don't care how much mousse or gel you put in your hair. Your hair ain't going to do that, little buddy. At a certain point, maybe we stop blaming what's around us. And we start looking in the mirror and say, what if it's me? What if I'm too sensitive? What if I'm easily offended? What if I need to address me? Because watch this. It's horrible trying to control somebody else when I really should take a look in the mirror. When you do this, you pray like David. David messed up his life with Bathsheba. He even had a son that raped a daughter. He didn't stand up the way he should. And the Bible says this, the sword shall never depart from your house. And in a moment of looking for restoration, David said this in Psalm 51. He said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your love of kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. He said, wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. He said, for I know my transgression and my sin is before thee. He said, I got the problem. It's me. I can't deal with nobody else. You know how they are, but God, forgive me. Notice what he said in verse 4, and this is what I want to tell you. He said, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you may be justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Can I teach this for a moment? When you sin against God. Your sin hurts people, but it's against God. So God is the one that has to forgive you. Because some of us in here have hurt people, and you can apologize for the rest of your life, but an apology is not enough for revenge. When a person refuses to forgive you, you can, if you love them, you will spend the rest of your life, I'm sorry, I did not mean to do that, please forgive me. And you'll rehearse it like it was yesterday. But you didn't sin against them. Bible said you sinned against God. Now God has to come in. They have to receive your forgiveness, but you can't heal what's hurt inside of them. I don't care how many cars you buy. I don't care how many trips you go on. I don't care how many flowers you get. It can't heal the wound inside of them. Just like God has to forgive you, he has to heal them. What's my part of the deal? My part of the deal with God is forgive me, and God will restore your character. I don't know who I'm talking to in here. You're trying to prove yourself that you're not what you used to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, take the acting hat off and just be you. God will vindicate you. God will show people that you change. He will show people that you're not that person. You keep living and they'll see. Because here's the challenge. You're trying to prove yourself to people who don't want to believe you changed in the first place. You all right in here? And for those of us who have been hurt, let the revenge go, because you can't get revenge and restoration at the same time. I don't know how I got here. You let it go, not saying it's okay. I told you I was in a Walmart, me and Isaiah and that little woman. You know how people hit you in the back of your heels, the Achilles with that cart. And she didn't even say she was sorry. And Isaiah said, Daddy, it's okay. I said, no, it ain't okay. And we followed her for a while. I didn't say nothing to her, but we followed her. I couldn't cut up too bad. He was in there with me. But forgiving is not saying it's okay. Forgiving saying it's wrong, but in order for me to move on, I got to let this thing go. Because not forgiving you is like me drinking poison and expecting you to die. So I got to first look in the mirror instead of looking at others. The next thing I got to do is this. You should never try to fool the person in the mirror. I can fool you. You can fool me. We can fool a whole lot of people. But you got a problem when you start fooling yourself. You ever seen somebody lie so much they start to believe the lies they tell? It's like, oh, you believe that, don't you? You ever had somebody that forget, I mean they real good, and tell your story like they were in it, and you're thinking, you ain't even there. You tell that real good. It's a little scary right here. When you fool the person in the mirror, that's when you got a problem. Because when we tell stories, we tell our version of it, and just know that there's always another side of it. And whenever you're talking to somebody, always realize there's another side of the story. It would be a shame. There's a whole lot of people that I've been looking at crazy until I heard their side of the story. I'm like, oh, I probably need to start asking questions before I place judgment. Look yourself in the mirror and be honest with yourself about where you are. Deidre's story is phenomenal. At that moment, she saw herself as disgusting. I know what that looks like, to look yourself in the mirror and say, why can't I be more of this? God, why did you make me this way? Why can I not be more this and more that? Why, what is wrong with me? Many may be honest, but I don't know if you ever looked yourself in the mirror and just not like who you see. You know how to put it on in front of people. You know how to get it together. Put your little hat on, get your nice pressed shirts, and everybody thinks you look good. But on the inside, you're broken. I made a decision in Jason Scales' life. I will never fool myself again. I'm going to be honest. If I'm not good, I am not good. Because it's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay not okay. I'm angry right now. You know, you can't be angry. It's my pride. I'd be angry if I want to. I'm in my feelings right now. I'm going to get out of it. Just be honest. Could we ask people what's wrong? Nothing. For real. You ain't talked in 2 days and nothing's wrong. You walk around here, stomp around here like James Evans. Banging pans and screaming like Florida Evans. Nothing's wrong. Be honest with yourself first so you project that onto others. Because Sister Penny said that right. When you are wrong, you can't stay in the presence of right people. Real cannot stay in the presence of fake things. When things are fake, they get nervous and around things that are real. Be real with yourself first. Look yourself in the mirror. What do you like? What do you not? This is what I'm going to put with. I don't know about you, but I'm too old to be dealing with some stuff. No, I don't have the whole lot of time to be wasting on dumb and stupid stuff. Listen, if you want to fly to Paris, France, and come back and make a stop in London, England, if you got the money, go do it. But you can put no pressure on me. I'll drive around my block and call a vacation. She ain't going to like it, but I may do it. It's the reality. No, I'm serious. You got to be honest with where you are, because half of us are killing ourselves trying to keep up with other people. Be real with yourself. Be honest about where you are, because external battles could be the result of inner turmoil. And I'm through with this. You got to understand this. The last point, look yourself in the mirror. Be honest with that person in the mirror. And then understand this. Healed people make whole decisions. Hurt people hurt people, and they make bad decisions. Anybody ever went to the grocery store hungry? I done came out with stuff, tried it, and it was not good. Yeah, because just mad, just trying stuff. I'm hungry. Didn't even think how long it was going to take to cook it. Now, think about this. It's bad to go to Walmart, it is bad to go shopping when you're just in a bad emotional place. I don't even know why I bought that. Think about the relational decisions we make from bad places. Think about the financial decisions we make from bad places. What I'm telling you is this. Take a step back, because God always has grace and mercy for where you are. But get your heart healed first. When you get right within, you start to see everything outside of you the right way. In verse 8, David said this, make me to hear joy and gladness. We were preaching, and we were at a hooping point right here. He said, let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to learn how to dance on broken bones. Oh, y'all ain't like that one. Anybody have had some bones broken in your life? Anybody ever been through some stuff and you had to praise your way through it? You had to worship your way through it. Verse 9, he said, hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with the willing spirit. Here's the part that I want to be at. He said, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted. Notice he said then. I'm going to tell you this. It's a very scary thing to take advice from a person in a broken place, because their advice is tainted. They're in offense. They're in a certain place, and now it's messing up the way you see things. I love R&B music. We got to see Will Downing Friday night. He did it. I like Will. Anybody here love Jasmine Sullivan? Jasmine can blow. I was listening to one of her songs one day. Bust out your windows and your door. What kind of pain you got to be in to be willing to go to jail over some joker? Bust out my windows. I'm calling the police. I ain't fighting you. You going to jail. And you going to fix my window. And we just, bust your window. And just, look at the pain that she's singing from. That's coming from a deep place. Think about this. And a lot of the advice and the things we're taking, you need to stop and ask, is that person healed or on their way to healing? Or are they vomiting on me based off where they are right now? I did not say they're going to listen to R&B. If you don't have some R&B CDs and music you don't like, I may take it from you. It'll be all right. What I'm saying is just watch the advice you're coming from. You in a tough place and you find the most insecure, bitter person you know, and they give you advice. And now y'all both messed up. Paranoid, hiding behind bushes, looking for people, just doing crazy, showing up on people's job and all black. You got to be careful. Y'all laughing. I'm telling the truth. Day at work, eating lunch, and you in the corner just looking. bad advice will mess your head up. I'm serious. Find people in a hole or on their way, because none of us are perfect, but at least have an idea of wholeness. Let that feed your spirit, and I guarantee you, watch how things change. Parents, how many of you can tell when your kids have been listening to their own people? Could they challenge every bit of authority in your life? The reason why, if you're under 18 here, can I tell you something? Do you know why your parents are so strong about what they tell you? Because we done been through and done half the stuff you're doing. And he said, well, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right, but you don't see the scars I got as a result of this stupid stuff I did. And when people are feeding you the wrong way, they're trying to get you off course. What I'm saying is this. Look yourself in the mirror. Don't lie to yourself in the mirror. Understand this. Whole people, heal people, make whole choices. Stand to your feet all over the building. I feel the same way after the first service. I hope this made sense to you in here. I hope it did. If you're in here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to make two appeals. The first appeal is this. You are not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Either you walked away from him because he never leaves you, or you never just said, I want you into my heart. If you want to, I want you to repeat after me. I'm going to lead everyone through the sinner's prayer. Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. I admit I've sinned. I've done things not pleasing in your sight. I accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I am forgiven. I am made whole. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. If you said that for the first time, welcome to the kingdom of God, or welcome back. Bow your head and every eye closed. If you're in here today and there's some things inside of you, some inner turmoil, I'm lifting both of my hands. There's some stuff that God needs to deal with in me. There's some stuff inside of you that you need God to fix so you can see things right, so that you can go through life right. And you're saying, God, I need you to deal with me. Nobody else I'm praying for this morning. I need you to fix me. Can you slip your hand up? I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you. Heal me. Show me the things that are getting me off course. Show me how to deal with the stuff that I see in a healthy manner. Father, I thank you that I'm going to walk up right before you. I'm going to live out my purpose and my destiny. No fear, no suspicion, no paranoia. I'm walking safely in the arms of you. I make a decision. I'm not going to live a day in offense with a bad spirit, creating battles that I don't even want to fight. God, I want to be free. Help me to love even the unlovable. Father, forgive me. Give me grace. Give me mercy so that I can extend it to others. I thank you. I honor you, and I bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I love you with the love of the Lord.